We're holding here in the last paragraph in Perek Aleph. U'mesechta Shavuos. Omer ben Yamin by Yafis. Kol misha mekanshis atzmei b'shas tashmish, havu loy bonim schorim. Shenema viskadashtem v'yisem k'toishim, v'somuch le ishek izazri ol de zachar. So, first of all, what does the word mekanish atzmo mean? Just Rashi says one word, he says tznius. We'll try to explain a little bit later on.
Where did Rashi say it?
In Shavuos, in Gemara Shavuos.
Okay.
He fataiches that what is the word mekanish atzmo, what sense he says tznius. Birze. Kimisha mekanish atzmo beis tashmish. Kipol zehu maise chomri. Kasher eno bekdusha. Vimekadesh atzma betznius ena nechshav chomri. Kiatznius hikdusha. So he says here a whole bit over here, which is really part of the bigger picture, I guess. What does it mean? What's the mila of the tznius in the act? Let's phrase it this way. Normally we say arayus is asur, and tznius is kind of a sort of a guard or preventive arayus. So that's it's mylan. Certainly in these inyanim, we always see in terms of the reason why women should be tznius is not to arouse and provoke, etc., etc., etc. But when you're holding by intimacy, what's the point of the tznius shabbat? That's the difficult one to understand. So I want to try to explain a little bit. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim that the reason why Lashon Kodesh is called Kodesh is because it lacks any terminology for many of the inyanim involved with intimacy. Baruch Hashem, designers have filled in with that. We have plenty of Arab words and slang words that fill in the gap. But in natural Lashon Kodesh, there are no words for the Ivarim, etc., etc. To which the other Rishonim argue on that, and they say, you know, there are some words, etc., and that's not the reason for Lashon Kodesh. Rabbeinu Bechaya specifically speaks about it, and he argues on it, and others. But the point in the Rambam is as follows. Do these inyanim belong on the outside? Should they be spoken about? In other words, a person can do things at many levels. He can do something quietly where the outside of himself doesn't express it, and it's only a davar betzina, or it can become a davar that's begoli. So the kedusha part of it is that the ultimate reason is this is a thing where its kedusha lies in the fact that it is bitzina. It doesn't take over the person's outward expressions, and as such, it becomes a davar kadosh. But let's take an example of something very different, but just to get us a little bit of a feel. A person who gives tzedakah, for instance, and the person never talks about it. So that has a certain pnimius to it, which makes the maisa a very chashuva maisa. If a person publicizes it and talks about it a lot and tells people about it a lot, the maisa itself becomes a very public type of maisa, and it loses the kedusha of that of the tznius. It's not by its nature. It's not. It's no longer an act of a finer part of the person. It's an act of the of the chumri part of the person. That's the nature of a maisa which is done bechitzonius. So the activity of doing in this inyan itself, when it's bekedusha, it's something which is very, very positive, meaning when it's done bitzina, it's something that is very, very chashuv, when it is something that is that takes place at the outward level, then it becomes something that is less than that. Well, we take a moment to greet our Rabbi Matisyahu Rosenblum, make permanent record of his being here, and in whose chus we're taping it. The so in the tznius itself, in the metzius of intimacy itself, when it is an act that stays completely bifnim, that's when it is a dava kadosh. When it becomes the outer layer of the person talks about it, the person is misasik begoli. When there is a goli, the type of misaskus in it, that's where it becomes more mochamri. That which is bifnim a person tends to be something which is not chomri. Even the more pneumistic sense of his dapkus is not chomri. The chitzoni sense of it is chomri. Olafikach roish yubonav scharim. Can a kevi chomri skoshes barapam harbe vilazach mutsur nivul ma chomri. So this is a point that he says a lot of times. It's not easy for us to, you know, as a modern day people to swallow it, but it's a point that he uses a lot, and he'll explain it later a little bit. He'll bring some points to it. We'll see in a second. Let's use a simple marker for this inyan over here, where he describes one as Tzura and one as Chomer. You know, obviously it was the way in which the Greeks described it. This was kind of a constant in the writings, but I want to describe it just on a simple level first. Chazal say that a person is brings home wheat from the field and barley and so on. You can't eat the wheat or the barley, whatever it is that you have, and it must be something which somebody stands and prepares it and makes it palatable and makes it enjoyable to eat. Even the stuff you bring home from the grocery, it has one time when you eat it out of the bag, like Minik Bachrim and Yigalaita's wives have, or when somebody actually cooks it and puts it in a plate and so on and so forth. The bringing something down in its outward positive form is the role of the isha. Usually the husband usually brings the raw material, he'll bring the cash, he'll bring the wheat. Those are the raw materials. By nature, that's motzur. The woman will make something out of it. She'll make food out of it and clothing, etc. Umish, so that's one market we can peg it with.
Didn't we just reverse things? The woman just may gave tzura to it by putting it into, taking the wheat and making
no,
it
into bread. The tzura is food. And the practical manifestation of it, its final manifestation of it, it's just like the difference between math and engineering, kind of. You know, math is the more theoretical. It lends itself to many different practical outcomes. And we'll see in a second the muscle he uses, which will fill in. Umisha mekashat b'tznius b'shas tashmish b'zehu nivlum l'chamri l'kach banav scharim. V'dovaze mevua k'abilti tznius humayse behema chamri. So, a behema has no tochen. A behema is what it is. A behema, you know, is whatever you see is all that there is to it. There's nothing inside. There's no inside that this is a levush to it. So anytime a person brings out inner things to the outside, then he is downsizing it. He's taking something that's less refined, that's more refined, and papachkin it, make it less. I want to add an akuda here that is, again, it's this very prevalent American thinking, and hefach of what's right. It came from a good place. It used to be that in Europe, people were very repressed. People did not talk about many things, and therefore, when problems arose, the lack of communication bred a lot of issues, and it was hard to resolve them because everybody kind of is not forthcoming and not talking about things, you know, in their heart and so on and so forth. you build up problems and it's hard to deal with it. So to the credit, modern society, especially America, is very into being open and talkative and expressing and explaining. Fine, that's good. When there is a problem, an issue, you need to express and explain, so forth. What's become is the opposite, that there is nothing you don't plopple about, and there's a beauty when you don't tell the person, my birthday is tomorrow and I'm really, really expecting this and this and this, or anything about it. The beauty lies in the nuance, in the understanding each other without the speech. Yes, when there's an issue or problem, you need to do that. But the I remember sometimes I try to tell over stories to people, like to Talmidim, and it's even hard for them. I'll tell you a conversation. Just someone told me the following story. It's a long story. I'm going to kind of cut out a lot of the good parts, but I just want to do the piece there is a time to tell over some of the other parts of it. But this is somebody. He looked in the mirror and Rabbi Yochum needed to get to have an important conversation with him. And he told me Rabbi Yochum used to walk up and down the rows during Seder, and if he stood a second and looked at you, it meant, please come out and I'd like to have a word with you. So sure enough, Rabbi Yochum walks by, looks at him, goes on, and he steps out. Rabbi Yochum tells him something, kind of without explaining why he's saying it. This person caught on right away, told him something else. Rabbi Yochum kind of smiled and he probed further than this. That was conversation. Someone was sitting at my table, a wonderful fellow, but as American as they come. And he said to me, but why couldn't he be more expressive, Rabbi Yochum, and explain exactly what he wants and that he wants and da da. And I said, you don't even get the beauty of people understanding each other without talking it out in so many words. The expression, wherever there's a beauty in the tznius shabo, then bringing it out makes it more chumri. And listen, there are times we have to, but it is not something that is l'chatchila, it's not the most best way of doing it. Va'odro shibonav scharim, and we'll get back, he'll bring some in yonim why zachar is pnim and the cave is chitzaynus. Kazacha milos madrigosa nista betzinu b'yoysa. And by the way, let's just make a comment about this. It seems to us the opposite. Men seem to be talk a lot grosser things, and women seem to be more reserved. And yes, you know, Baruch Hashem, it has a lot to do with chinuch, but still, you know, it's expected that a man will be a lot grosser and more and talk about things. A woman will be less so. So what sense does we mean it to? And the answer is, it's talking about in the wide range of things, a woman has a stronger need to express herself, and you know a typical man will have, well, what's the point of talking to that person? Nothing's going to come of it, whereas the woman's reaction will be, I have to tell the person. And you know, all the manuals about marriage, about the, you know, where the husband gives advice, tachlistic advice, and the woman feels that that's very rude, and the man can't understand why he's been troubled with a half-hour discussion if it's not meant to have any input. But a woman doesn't, she lives through something by expressing it, by talking about it, engaged in it. It's a man. The only reason why a man is more talked about other inyanim is only because of the taiva shebo. It's the koach taiva in him. It's not because, you know, it's because that itself is a type of arousal and so on. But it's not innately a woman. She experiences things only when it's more public, more open, more discussed, and so on. Kazocha miles and dregos and nistav zon be yosef. Nekach kashat sonur bedrochov. V'ozu magia da madrega and estersha bobisham azocha. So there's a certain fitting element of zocha coming from that. Kazocha bo madrega sasa yoina. Avalo isha, lefishe flossa ene bo mokum nista alyoin. O lekach zocha begematria brocha. V'chol brocha besimu venistim in a ayin. Am nekev efech zesh losh nekeva kum vayikev zashem shukilla. Loshen the keva, nokvas chorcha live at tena. So let's explain this point of his over here. When the Mekuda of Bracha is, let's give a good example for it. When I write an equation, the square root of x equals 4, there are two possible answers to that equation, 2 and minus 2. Many math, you know, as it gets exponentially bigger, there are many more solutions. Many math problems have various solutions. When I come down and I say, okay, we're dealing here actually with a house, and I need 4, it's a square room, and it's got 4 square meters of tiling, then there's only one right answer for how many sides each one is, and the answer is 2. Minus 2 is not an answer over there, unless it's heavily mortgaged. But it's 2 is not a minus 2 is not an answer, because the math, because it's a less concrete form of description, it has many more possibilities. I haven't fixed a possibility, whereas when I'm talking a practical house, so I fixed it, and therefore it has only one possibility. Bracha means something is at a stage where there are various possibilities to it, and that's why it can become many things. Just like, let's take another example that today we have an understanding of. There are cells in the body, liver cells are liver cells, and kidney cells are kidney cells, and so on. But the first cells that the body comes from, those cells can be anything. And that first stage, those cells, and you know, that's what people look into today, are the stem cells, so-called stem cells, and so on. Because they're at an earlier stage, they are not yet fixed, and they have a much greater potential to it. So the bracha is not yesh me'ayin, that doesn't exist anymore, but it's a yesh that has much more potential to it. So also the zera of the ish, the amount of cells are in the hundreds of millions, an incredible amount of cells, and theoretically there could be, you know, 100 million, 175 million, whatever the numbers is of children. The thing that fixes it is the nekeva is the one that fixes one, usually, and only one, and that's it. Or some multiple birth, but it the place that it becomes fixed and it can no longer become infinite, many manifold, is nekeva. Obviously, just to be on a more practical level, it is no bracha to have an infinite amount that can't be realized. You know, it's like in Russia, where you could have thousands of ruble, but there was, unless you were a party member, there was nothing you could buy with it. It's not going to be helpful. It's not a bracha that doesn't have its nekeva. Zachar's nekeva is not a bracha, but in the relationship between the two, so zachar is not your bracha because of a man can have many wives and so on. A woman has a certain fixing of things, and that's why the word nakva scharcha means fix the schar. Enumerate it. Give me a number for it. That is what nakva is. So nekeva is the ability to fix, to limit, and the zachar is a ribui, and that's why there's bracha. That's the yisod why there's a bracha in David that's somim in ayin, and no bracha in something that is not somim in ayin.
Yes. Could you say it differently in terms of bracha, that the bracha is the klal? And as the klal, so there could be a ribia pratim, even though they're not different. No, there's different klalim. Bracha is one klal, but the way that that klal can manifest itself is in a trillion different ways.
Well, a klal by nature, a true klal by nature is one step up the ladder from a prat. So I don't know if it's because it's a klal, but the relationship, if a klal means simply more than the sum total of all the pieces, but it's rather a generality, so by definition almost you have that type of thing. In other words, when I speak about the law of gravity, I'm not speaking anything specific, I'm speaking about a general entity, general metzius. So that could have, by definition, could have many more many more examples.
You're saying the klal itself lends itself to a thousand different interpretations, not just
right, because a klal in general, if it's a true klal, and not just an aggregate of pieces, if it's a true klal, then you're talking about one step up the ladder.
Yeah,
you know, all men are mortal is different than Reuven dying, Shimon dying, Levi dying. It's something saying about a step in a higher up on the hierarchy of the Metzius.
Was that a disagreement? So it's not the same as bracha.
I would see it as sort of it's an offshoot of it. Sort of yes, a klal will have that factor to it. But he's saying it's because a bracha deals with things that are kind of a ribui, and bracha deals with things that are still at the potential level, and the reason why if it's summing in a ayin means the eye is a way of fixing it. If I can see something, so it means it's already taken on a certain dimension. It's taken on something that is nitfas already, and that means it's fixed to some degree. The word with Vayikra Hashem also means that, in other words, the heresy in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard, it's a very hard thing to understand what in the world it is. Vayikra Hashem halachically is, he said Yossi Hikas Yossi, which means like, you know, Yudke Vavke has done something to Yudke Vavke. It doesn't mean anything. We find it a strange statement. Well, like what that statement means. Basically, what it means is it's setting some sort of limitation on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's checking like checkmate, checking HaKadosh Baruch Hu from within. And that's sort of kfirah. That's the kfirah we're talking about. That's the nikav Hashem. So at any rate, that is klaladiv. Amru. It's very interesting. My father-in-law, Zechayin Evracha, who raised the money for the Meir Yeshiva and did it his own way, very different than Nelson Tzvi, but he ran Yeshiva. The thing, whenever, you know, every so often, every few years, there would be a new gvir that rose in the world of tzedakas. That was like the norm, and you know there was the Reichmans, and there was the Or Sameach, no Tenenbaum, and there was somebody named, I forgot, was
Friedman,
Miller, Friedman. And there were different. Friedman was later, I think. But you know, there were always different people. My father-in-law never ever went to these people, and he once told my father-in-law, he said, it always comes with a hu-ha, and there's no simen bracha in a hu-ha. Like anything that was like, I mean, he never left the yeshiva in the plus, with the month in reserve, to finish the month that he was nifta, and give next month and a month in reserve for emergencies, Nobody knew exactly where he got from. There was nothing ever done public. No one knew who he was even getting money from. And as part of it, and he believed in it very strongly, that no good comes out of anything that's public. Something is splattered over the walls, nothing comes of it. So that was his very, very strong opinion. But Agapanim, there's, you know, something that's no broch and some that's
What's again the Siba for it then? Why is it? Is it limited? The eye sees it. Limited?
Well, it's something. At this level, I was at the mystical level. It works because this world, you know, it's bracha is something that's really not in the teva, this world. There are three madrigas. There's yesh me'ayin, which happened once only, and it's not supposed to happen again. There's yesh me'yesh, which is if you take a cake and cut it into X amount of pieces. It's at the price, you know, each piece is in inverse relationship to the amount of pieces you cut out of it. There's no... The idea where things can become many, where things are at a stage that it can evolve, like seeds can become many plants, that's a process that takes place on the ground. You know, people giving birth is a process that's innately hidden. It's a very hidden biological process. It's, you know, even the mice in its physical format is a very hidden mice. Be'etzem, and it seems as if this chelik of the bria has to, it's like, you know, it's like you ever see the, I always think about this, you know, a certain rebbe, a miracle worker becomes very famous, And people come, like, step out of the woodwork with all sorts of wonderful stories about what kind of nisim he did. And then people start coming to him by the hundreds, and they don't see any more nisim coming out. So the true skeptics say, well, you know, that's a good raya about what was the emes before. But I don't think so. I think the real reason is this type of nace. Obviously, nobody's doing kriyas yamsa, but you're doing, you know, you're helping somebody with children or with shidduch or matnas, whatever it is. I was just actually thinking about it. A friend of mine had a very, very difficult situation with three unmarried children, terribly, terribly older kids, and a lot of other issues. And there was a rebbe he was close to, and this person, and he probably came to, you know, gone to him many times for advice and succor and so on. Finally, he came to him and cried his heart out. And this rebbe said, okay, I will do a skula that I have to be sure that it works 100%, but just a limited amount of times I can use it. And I'll do it for you. The year's not over, and two of the three kids are married. And you're talking about really difficult. I mean, you know, they're in their mid-30s, and there was reason why they were sitting around. And then I wondered to myself, if this person would go wholesale, like if this person would, I just think it can't happen at that darga. The stipler used to be against, you know, like if there was a suffix to take an x-ray, and it wasn't clear that it would do anything, just give you information, he would say not. He would say, because as long as we don't know about it, there's a bigger makom for Yeshua. To have a growth disappear is a kind of nace. And those are very, very limited. They don't happen. To have a stomachache turn out to be a stomachache doesn't fall into the getter of nace. Bracha is something which is a sort of, it's something kind of very, very... miraculous. It is something, and once it becomes public, it loses that. That's the point they're trying to make.
So that's the analogy in the Olam Gashmi, is that say the seed is underneath the ground.
Right, seed is underneath the ground. Reproduction underneath the ground, so to speak. I mean, the varim are betzim. You know, the act itself betzim happens in a way that's not seen. It's not the. So it's true of everything. Anything that has broch in it is some in ayin. I mean, and that's why, you know, there was a tremendous reluctance on the mere, for instance, to single out kids, and this kid is a genius, this kid, this is that. Very, very weird. It's, we also speak about Ayin Hara. We weren't so much into Ayin Hara, but much more into this. This bracha is when things, and you know, it's true, it expresses itself in a myriad ways, but definitely, on the conceptual level, he says, this is how he's explaining it.
This is the real shot in Ayin Hara. I mean,
well, Ayin Hara usually is because it jars other people's sense. Yes, it's sort of a kina type of thing. But this is Umnekach Amru Asara Kabn Sikh Yor Lolom Teisha Notu Noshim Vicholze Mipne Shah Dibu Moitza Kurla Goli. Dibu tends to bring everything out open. Vize Shayach Bi Isha Shainla Maila Helyoina Nisteris. So again, the sikha is, you need, if you don't express it, don't talk about it, don't live through it, speaking wise, it doesn't exist for a woman, and she needs to do it. And I just so I shouldn't be machshel the tzibur, it doesn't mean you should try to stop your wife from doing it. That's normal and natural, and they need to talk about it. But understand that it's a different level of dealing with things. In other words, the fact is, a zohar limits a woman in marriage, you know, how many people she could marry, whereas a man doesn't become limited. So just the fact of marriage is a limitation where she's not available anymore, she's not open anymore, and so on. And again, this yitzonis, men will be greater womenizers than women will be menorizers, but women will tend to be more flirtatious than a man. In other words, when a man is flirting, he's doing it for one tachlis, not to flirt, he's doing it for a taiva. A woman, again, with some generalities, a woman enjoys the flirtation, and sometimes you have to pay a price for it. But the etzem etzias is being recognized, being acknowledged, being spoken to, being spoken of. It's a very, very different nekuda. And a sort of kvisha of the zacher is that kvisha.
What is the lashon of the kvisha? Where is that?
Precious. And that's where we learn that a woman is not mitzvah in perivirivia, because it is the darker lichbosh, not her darker.
Kivshu is going on the bria.
But Chazal darshin it on, she's not darker lichbosh by Muhammad, by Amalek, and she's not mitzvah in because not darker lichbosh. So
he's taking it as the man is being kovish the isha.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We don't see that necessarily in the passage.
You have a chumash. We can resolve that. I don't even, what. Okay. So let's see. If not, we'll have to look at it. It's good. So I guess if vayivar sadam v'tzalam v'tzalam alekim varos zochei var oisam vayivarach oisam alekim vayim alem alekim puravu mila saras v'kivshuha, I imagine there must be a drasha of so Rashi says v'kivshuha chasavav l'lametcha shazochei kevus nekeva shloite yitzanis. So the v'kivshuha is darshan as v'kivsha, and that's what we learn the other inyanim of so on. So again, the man, now in all these tchunas, when we speak about a zachar and a keva, we're talking obviously about tchunas anefesh. Many a zachar, the Welt says, only misha bun of the kevas means if he has boys who are nekevas, who are busy doing the keva things, that's only misha bun of the kevas. You know, zachar and keva is a targa. In other words, someone who's more focused inwardly, or sometimes more focused outwardly. So if a person is mekadosh atzmo, he's havlo bonus chara. V'dovzer yispayav v'nesev ha'prishus, he gam dovzer ha'prishus hu kasharam oise drachav v'tzniyaz like Moshe Rabbeinu. He mentions briefly in Nesev ha'prishus, which is actually next Nesev, that it's a certain, it's something which takes it down from the madrega of chomri. In other words, prishus is meant, prishus deals with drawing back from chomri and giving something more ruchnistic aspect to it. The point of it is when something is drawn back, when a person does things with his senses and lives it through all his senses, the more his senses are involved, the more chomri it is. The more some pnim of it is involved, an emotion, a feeling, an understanding, so on and so forth, the less it's chomri. So in precious, he means it more with the knach of, I mean, he says kemat, same thing, but he means it more with that knach. Whereas over here, he's talking about at what level of his person is it out, and lefi that, whether it's a b'chinas zach on a keva. Okay, any questions? We'll not the whole thing. Yeah.
Question is, it's indirectly related. That it seems to me is that we're setting up the Adam with a series of different madrigas, working from the chitzonius to the pnimius.
Right.
And he said the most chitzonius is his maisim, and then his argoshes, or his
right.
midas, and then his machshavas.
Right.
Is there a level, do we deal with the level which is beyond the machshava? Where we make there is the ikra Adam?
There is, again, beyond the machshava meaning what? Further back?
Yes.
So there is something that there is, Ratzon is considered to be more Pnim than Machshava. In other words, it's a very basic sense of what a person's Ritzonos are. Machshava is seen more as Lamashal. Let's say a person is very ambitious to be president, to be a big businessman, to be this, that, or the other thing. So the root ambition is something very Pnimistic. His Machshava has built the fantasy of what it is that he wants to do or be, and then he's figuring out how to carry it out and so on and so forth. So there is some sort of root. In other words, keneged keser is rotzen, and chachma. Keser is something which you really have no real grasp on it. It's a thing that's really past any grasp in a person. We just realize this at some point. A psychologist will analyze a person, and say this is caused by this, this is caused by this. At some point, you're going to have to get to this is the person. And everything else has shaped it, has changed it, has developed it. But this is the bets on the person, and you can't move from that.
Is it accurate to say that person, that's the etzem adam, and everything else lebiyachas to that is a kli for the gilui of that ultimate pnim?
Correct. The nekuda, obviously, the most pnimistic nekuda person is the person himself. And everything else is a way to bring it out. Just like Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his midas are arranged in a way where you start with Keser, which is sort of the Pnim Keneged Ratzon, and it moves on through different stages until you see it fully implemented. So correct, the goal is the full expression of it. But any gap, in other words, what he talks about is when you're expressing more than needs to be expressed, you're becoming more Chomri and less, and you're moving away from that ideal.
Is it that you're taking something which is basically clear and you're making it an etzem?
Right. You're switching the two. Instead of understanding instead of focusing on the pnim of it, you're just dealing with the chitzaynis of it. Yes.
When the Gras says that the etzem person is the ruach, which seems to be lower than the neshama.
Correct, much lower. Well, the etzem person is the ruach means the conscious person that we're aware of. When we talk about, who are we talking to? We're talking about the ruach. Neshama today, it used to be the neshama. Used to be, I mean, I got a Mauritian. I don't mean in Europe, like, you know, the ruach, which is really the point of flux in a person between Tov and Ra and so on, that's the person we're talking to.
But
we're talking about that's who we're dealing with today. But who's the toch of the person? That's called Yechida. It's called Yechida for a reason. That's the focal point. That's the point of that's the nekud of the person. That's a madrega way beyond us, way beyond anything.
But that's still individual to each of us.
Yes, and that part is individual. Everything else is common. In other words, any darga after that is common, shared with people. But what's unique about each person is called Yechida. It's called one. Okay. And what are you asking?
After the tape is off.
Okay, so now you have to post it, you have to take care.